Friday 19, February 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks so much for tuning into the Calvary Hour. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker, and we're glad to be able to come to you by means of Christian radio, be it radio, internet, or however you're receiving the signal now. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and we're glad to be able to share the Word of God with you, and I hope that these broadcasts will be a challenge in your heart and life. We're looking right now at the letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation to see the problems that developed in these early churches and how they have accumulated into the Laodicean church age, where I believe we are today prophetically and practically, by the way. In Ezekiel chapter 8, we read that God took Ezekiel by the Spirit back into the land to show him why he had to send the children of Israel into captivity. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 makes it clear that God has written these things in the Old Testament for us in the New Testament. They're there for our admonition, they're there for our ensamples, or for our examples, that by the grace of God we not make the same mistakes and have to pay the same price. Father, do bless us now with thy word. Speak to my heart and the hearts of all of our listeners. I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, this broadcast is targeted for the end of our broadcast week. I hope you're making plans, if at all possible, to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church this coming Lord's Day. I'll tell you, there's no place like it. We're not to sin and forsaking to assemble ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but we're to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. As Christians, we're not to be lone rangers. We need the Lord, and we need each other. Just as the coals on a fire grate, you know, the old grate of coals, you take one of those coals out that's glowing red and put it on the hearth by itself, and it'll pretty soon grow dark and it'll grow cold. But you can take that same coal and put it back into the grate and just give it a little time, and by the grace of God, it'll be glowing and also be producing heat also. And that's the way it is with the people of God. We're to fellowship with the Father, we're to fellowship with the Son, we're to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and we're to fellowship with our fellow believers. If you just cannot get to a good fundamental Bible-believing church and you have access to the internet, please join us for our services at the Calvary Baptist Church. Our service times remain the same, or they have for many years, all on Eastern time, whether it's Eastern Daylight or Eastern Standard. Our Bible class is at 9:45 in the morning, and Dr. Dwight Williams, our associate pastor, my, what a tremendous teacher of God's Word our Lord has raised up, and we have the privilege to feast on His Word every Lord's Day morning starting at 9:45, and we'd like to invite you to join us as well. Well, you say, how can I do that? I'll tell you in just a moment. 5 minutes until 11, we try to start our morning service and then our evening service on Sunday there at 6 o'clock. We stream live, and also we have archives as well. And you can reach us at www.calbapt.org, www.calbapt.org. Well, in the book of Revelation chapter 2, as John writes these letters by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the seven churches in Asia Minor, several good things are said about the people there in Ephesus, but they did have a problem. They had left their first love. When we come to the church at Smyrna, they were a suffering church. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Oh, how appropriate are these scriptures to the church in Smyrna. Now, the church at Pergamos, beginning in verse 12 of Revelation chapter 2, and to the angel of the church in Pergamos. You say, preacher, what does it mean, angel? Well, angelos, the word means messenger. It can be a heavenly messenger, or it can be an earthly messenger, by the way. And I believe that the angels, the messengers that are addressed in these seven churches, are to the pastors of these churches. Now, you might disagree with me, that's all right. But I believe he's writing these letters to the pastors and to the churches. And to the angel, or to the messenger of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. That's the word of God, is it not? For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. Now, we mentioned this a couple of broadcasts back, did we not? They were living where Satan's seat is. I told you at that time that we have a lot of spiritual darkness here in New Bern, North Carolina. We have quite a bit of spiritual darkness. And I'm going to tell you this, dear friend, you can sense that as you seek to serve the Lord here. But you know, the grace of God is always sufficient, for greater is he that's within us than he that is within the world. But he said, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. A couple of broadcasts back, we mentioned this. Balaam was a prophet. Balak was a Moab king, an idolater. When Israel was coming up out of Egypt and trying to get into the promised land, Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel so that they would not be able to come in. But no matter how much Balaam wanted the money, and the Bible said he loved the wages of unrighteousness. There's no question about that. Oh, Balaam talked straight, he just walked crooked. If you listen to what Balaam said, you couldn't find a thing in the world wrong with his message. He told Balak, I'm just going to do what God said. I'm going to say what God said. That's what he said. I'll say what God said. And Balak kept asking him to come up and curse the people of God. And when they would go up to curse the people of God, at least he wanted him to. Balak wanted him to. They would offer a sacrifice. They would have an ecumenical service, if you please. An ecumenical service. They were dropping the barriers. And Balaam, who was to be a prophet of God, was holding this worship service with Balak, an idolatrous king. It's kind of like, as I said earlier, people trying to join Islam and Christianity together, calling it Chrislam. Dear friend, that'll never work. In fact, God will not share his honor. He'll not share his glory with another. And you're talking about two extremes, two absolutely different extremes. There's no similarity between Islam and Christianity. Islam observed a God of the 7th century. And the means of evangelization, if you please, is by the sword. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who rose again, who's coming back again. And his message is one of love and compassion. He is the one who was willing to die that others might believe on him rather than kill others so that they might follow him. There is no similarity, dear friend, between the God of Islam and Jehovah God, who is incarnate in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's almost time for this broadcast to be over, but let me say, dear friend, that when Balaam went up and he worshiped with Balak, and the people of God saw it, they started worshiping with the followers of Balak, and that idolatry would lead into gross immorality. And because of that, literally thousands of God's people died after that wicked sin. And what was Balaam in this thing for, regardless of what he said? Second Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, Peter writing about the dangers of the last day, says, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Oh, dear friend, God help us to stand, and having done all to stand, let's not become a victim of this ecumenical movement, but come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Sure hope to see you in a good Bible-believing church that's coming Lord's Day. And again, if you cannot, if you have access to the internet, join us at www.calbapt.org, www.calbapt.org. We hope you can be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church this coming, Lord. It's so important. May the Lord be pleased to bless each of us and make us a channel of his blessing. Please join us next broadcast if you can.